Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Morning. For those of you who I may not have had the pleasure to meet, my name is Andrea Williamson, and I'm an elder here at St. Andrew's, and I'm absolutely honored to be asked to be sharing the message with you today. I want to be clear, I am a layperson. I am not a biblical scholar, and though I have prepared and I've prayed and I've asked the Holy Spirit to speak in me and through me today to offer a message that God knows we need to hear. I'm going to start with a little story. Ernie Johnson Jr., award-winning sportscaster for CBS and Turner Sports, tells a story of when he was about 9 years old and playing shortstop in a little league baseball game. And a guy on the other team scores hits a ground rule double. So that's a ball that bounced over the fence. He got two bases, scored a couple runs. And before the game could resume, the team had to go and locate their left fielder and center fielder because they had jumped over the fence to go get the ball. So they went out there and they found the ball. And then they see the left fielder and center fielder. They're about 10 feet away in the middle of this game, eating blackberries. Kind of funny. So Ernie says at the time that this was something they found amusing, of course. But as he got a little older and reflected on this as an adult, it became a modern day parable for him. He realized that sometimes you've got to step away from the game and appreciate the blackberry moments. How long since you stepped away from the game and enjoyed a few blackberries or had a blackberry moment? You might be thinking, you don't understand. How can I step away from the game? I'm literally running the game. I'm running a business or an organization or a household or a sports team or a school or a classroom or a church. I've got projects to finish, exams to study for, meals to prepare, kids to take care of, laundry to do. I mean, the list goes on, obviously. Can you relate? When I greet my patients in our office, or I see a friend or a neighbor at the grocery store, or even here at church, especially if it's someone I haven't seen for a while, I usually ask them how things are going or how they're doing. And I bet you can guess how most people respond. Usual response I get is, I'm good, just what? Busy, exactly. Busy with work, busy with the kids, busy with school, busy with sports, busy with chores, busy with appointments, busy with life. Life is just busy. Corrie Ten Boom, the Christian writer and public speaker, said, if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. I don't like that. According to a recent Gallup poll, Americans are sleeping less and are more stressed. I promise, there is good news here. We're gonna get to good news soon. For the first time in Gallup polling since 2001, a majority of U.S. adults, 57%, say they would feel better if they got more sleep, while 42% say they get as much sleep as they need. What might be driving these downward trends in sleep? Research on health and wellness shows a strong connection between stress and sleep quality. According to the American Psychological Association, the relationship between sleep and stress goes both ways. Those who sleep less are more stressed, and those who are more stressed sleep less. So we're sleeping less and we're more stressed, but why are we all this busy? We are created with desires. They are what motivate us to get up in the morning. Desires to do well, desires to succeed, desires for pleasure, desires for happiness, desires for more. These desires are healthy. and good. But it's when these desires take over, that's when we're in trouble. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, no matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. The thing about more, it is never ending. We have a desire for something. We strive to achieve it. We succeed. And then we're not as happy with that success that we thought we would be. So we have a new desire, or a desire for more of the same. We say, if only I had such and such, a certain amount of money, or a great job, or a beautiful house, or wonderful spouse, or kids, or grandkids, or I got into this excellent school, or I won this competition, or I go on this amazing vacation, then I'll be happy. But then God gives us such and such, and are we really happy? Not usually. And then the cycle starts over again. We are wired to always want more. Like being on a treadmill, there's always more for us to want. Resting in God is the solution to satisfying our desire for more. St. Thomas Aquinas, the 13th century Italian theologian, taught that the last end of happiness can only consist in that which is perfectly good, which is God, because God is perfect goodness. He is the only one capable of fulfilling our heart's deepest longing and facilitating the perfection at which we aim. Thus, he says that human beings attain their last end by knowing and loving God. St. Augustine said, "Our heart is restless until it rests in you." Karl Rahner, a German Jesuit priest and theologian, wrote, "In the torment of the insufficiency of everything attainable, we come to understand that here, in this life, all symphonies remain unfinished." That is so poetic. Think about that, a symphony that remains unfinished. It would leave us hanging, wanting for more. Ron Rollheiser, a Canadian priest, author, and speaker, tells a story that a man shared with him on a retreat. So here's this man's story. "For most of my life, and especially for the past 20 years, I have been too restless to really live my own life. I have never really accepted what I am, a 45-year-old man working in a grocery store in a small town, married to a good, if unexciting, woman, aware that my marriage will never fulfill my deep sexual yearnings, and aware that despite all my daydreaming and the autographs of famous people that I have been collecting, I am not going anywhere. I will never fulfill my dreams. I will only be here, as I am now, in this small town, in this particular marriage, with these people, in this body, for the rest of my life. I will only grow fatter, balder, and physically less healthy and attractive. But what is sad in all of this is that, from every indication, I should be having a good life. I am lucky, really. I am healthy, loved, secure, in a good marriage, living in a country of peace and plenty. Yet, inside of myself, I am so restless that I never enjoy my own life, and my wife, and my kids, and my job, and the place that I live at. I am always at some other place inside of myself, too restless to be really where I am at, too restless to live in my own house, too restless to be really inside of my own skin." Henry Nouwen, the Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian, says, "Here in this world, there is no such thing as a clear-cut, pure joy." Ron Rollheiser teaches that peace and restfulness can come to us only when we accept that fact, because it is only then that we will stop demanding that life, our spouses, our families, our friends, our jobs, our vocations, and vacations give us something that they cannot give, namely the finished symphony, clear-cut, pure joy. Have you heard of hurry sickness? An article written by Masterclass states that repetitive thoughts of being behind and not accomplishing enough, which increase stress and anxiety, cause this thing called hurry sickness, which increase stress and anxiety. Sorry, I lost my spot. Constantly checking digital devices and comparing accomplishments to others on social media are modern day behaviors that help lay the groundwork for this thought and behavior pattern. Here's what hurry sickness may look like. Let's see if any of you guys can relate like I can. Rushing through tasks, maybe playing podcasts or videos at a faster speed than normal. Totally guilty here. Feeling irritable when there's a delay. I felt that way a week and a half ago on our way back from Canada, sitting in an hour-long wait to cross the border, switching to the shortest lane in a grocery store checkout or at a stoplight, interrupting or talking over people, running through your to-do list in your head, treating everything like a race, driving over the speed limit. Okay, always feeling behind schedule. Continuously multitasking, always having a sense of urgency. As the famed psychiatrist Carl Jung once remarked, hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil. Or as my beloved EHB, that's my husband's pen name for himself, he quotes, "The rush is not in the rush." Richard J. Foster, Christian theologian and author, said, "In contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied." Pastor and best-selling author Max Lucado, in his Encouraging Word podcast, states that time in our culture is money. Time is the commodity of our day, isn't it? Time is money. Consequently, the more I can get done in the short time I have, the more I have. As a result, we create this big blur that we call the human race. Jesus stands against that race, and he says, slow down. So we're finally getting to this. Our Bible verse for today in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I really love Eugene Peterson's The Message translation of the same scripture. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the promise of Christ. Let's accept that invitation. Let's follow the invitation of Jesus to rest. We learn from Scripture that rest is an important gift from God. God rested on the seventh day after creating the world and everything in it. We also know that Jesus took time to rest during his time here on earth. We also learn from the Blue Zones research. So if those of you who don't know what the Blue Zones are, they're pockets of people around the world with the highest life expectancy or with the highest proportions of people who reach age 100. So they researched what they are doing that the average American isn't. They identified 9 lifestyle habits of the world's healthiest, longest lived people. And one of those is downshift. Even people in the Blue Zones experience stress. And as we know, stress leads to chronic inflammation associated with every major age-related disease. What the world's longest-lived people have that we don't are routines that shed stress. Okinawans take a few moments each day to remember their ancestors. Adventists pray. Icarians take a nap. And Sardinians do happy hour. What does this look like practically for us, though, today? I found some ideas on finding rest in God from a few sources, the Billy Graham Library and Jessica Hoddle. She's a Christian life coach and her blog. But now let's remember that this isn't about adding more for us to do or feeling guilt or shame about needing to find rest in God, okay? But maybe we can think about unplugging from our screens or social media or the news. As informative as they may be, they're competing for our emotional and spiritual bandwidth, right? Maybe give our screens a rest for an hour, a day, or a week. If that seems too difficult, maybe just set a timer for screen time. We do that with our kids, and, well, we don't do that with our kids anymore, but at one time we did. A lot of people do that with their kids. My kids are not kids anymore. We can maybe get out in nature and go for a walk and pay attention to God's creation. We can get some sleep. Physical rest is critical for emotional and spiritual health. If you feel guilty that you won't be as productive, we can learn from Psalm 127, verse 2. It reads, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." We can spend time with God. We can pray first, ask him to reveal himself, then open your Bible and read intentionally. We can express our hearts to God, maybe through journaling, painting, dancing, singing. We can get crafty. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord as your expression of love for him. We can praise and worship God. We can focus on his goodness, and we can give thanks. We can connect with other Christians like we're doing right now. And we can take a break on the Sabbath to celebrate God's creation. So we can rest in God's presence by reading, studying, meditating, or reflecting on his word. We can take a little time from the hurry and busyness of our lives and be still, be silent, be present, and allow him to work in us. For some, the idea of being still and silent is too much. Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, physicist, inventor, philosopher, and Catholic writer, said, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." Dave Mathis, executive editor for DesiringGod.org and pastor of Cities Church, said, "We don't retreat from life's busyness and bustle as an end in itself to sit quietly in a room alone." In Pascal's words, is not an achievement, but it's an instrument, an opportunity to open up our lives and our souls to him for whom we were made, to know him and enjoy him. As we wrap up, I'd like to walk us through a meditative prayer as a way to help us find rest in God. You may feel a little vulnerable because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but it's going to be a way to find rest in God right here, right now, just for a moment. I'm going to read the first three verses of the well-known Psalm 23. Remember, this is a psalm of David, who was a shepherd himself. As I read, I encourage you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable, and I want you to imagine what the words really mean to you and how God may be speaking to you today. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake." Imagine all you are responsible for, all your worries and fears and feelings of guilt, shame, inadequacies, and I want you to imagine handing them over to Jesus. "God, we give you all of these things. Help us to hand them over to you. Help us to feel what it feels like to be fully in your care, Lord. God, please show us with imagery or a memory or some example what it means to be cared for by Jesus. Lord, you are our shepherd. Please deepen the rest for each of us right now. God, where do we need to renew our trust that you will provide? We ask that you would increase our faith, that we would trust that you are good enough and that you have the strength and the ability to meet our needs. God, we ask that you would come and restore our souls. We ask you, God, to come and give us your heavenly wisdom, guidance, and direction. And finally, we ask that you give us an image of what it would look like to be at a place of rest in you right now. God, we thank you for what you are speaking to us, and we ask that you would help us find rest in you as we go about our days, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.